Welcome to the EU Startups Podcast. Sit back and enjoy the show hosted by Marcin Lewandowski.
Hey everyone, this is Marcin Lewandowski and you're listening to the EU Startups Podcast. Some VCs follow the waves. Antonia Enech is out here making them. A CEO of Wave Ventures, the first fund in the Nordics built by students for students. She's leading a fresh movement. Bold Gen Z founders, big ideas, global ambition. With Wave 3 now live and three times bigger, Antonia is here to talk early bets, new models of VC, and why Gen Z is just getting started. Antonia, welcome to the show. It's such a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I love to be here.
Amazing. Antonia, congrats on Wave 3. I wanted to say, and I wanted to ask you, how does it feel to, you know, triple down on Gen Z founders?
Honestly, it feels amazing. It feels like there's so much happening right now with young founders. Gen Z is building a lot of companies and so on. So like the best time to be backing this generation.
Nice. I love it. You've said, I read it somewhere, maybe at one of your posts, that you've said you believe Gen Z is building the world they want to live in. What does that world look like to you?
Yeah, I think there are many, many parts to it. I think like if you, like just currently looking into the future, there's a lot of like uncertainty in many, many ways. So I think like, is it then like kind of to make the world like kind of more climate friendly, more peaceful, more efficient in some ways, how to use the technology and all these kind of things. Also like just in general, more empowering for us is probably like these things that that I would like to personally see, but also kind of not just waiting for, or I feel like there have been so many things like the uncertainty and so on. So it feels like it's not like kind of our time to just wait that someone will fix those for us, but actually our generation to build that ourselves or make kind of these small things happen so that we can then have the world we want to live in.
Amazing. I love it. You know, what's a trait or mindset you see in Gen Z founders that makes them different than, you know, from previous generations?
I think like probably like one of the biggest one is the like kind of hunger for like meaning, like this meaningfulness. Often I think like now that our generation is kind of moving into the workforce in general, it's not just that we're looking for like jobs or things to do, but we actually want to first of like enjoy what we're doing or then like have something very meaningful that we can have an impact and affect the world. So I think those things are kind of the ones that our generation is a lot focusing on. So not just like following the paths of others or doing something because it's like you're told to do so, but actually getting some more meaning out of it.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. And I love it. And also have some fun along the way, right?
Exactly. Absolutely.
What's one myth about Gen Z founders you're tired of hearing?
I think it's about the laziness of our generation. Oh. I don't understand it. I've read some, like, there have been some news or stuff like, oh, now is this lazy generation coming into the workforce or stuff like this. But I don't agree with that at all. Like, I think it probably comes from exactly, like, because we're looking like for like meaningful stuff to do. So we're not open to do anything. Like we want to do things that we enjoy or we think have an impact or so. So yeah, I definitely don't agree. And I think it's also like the most ambitious of our generations are the ones that can then actually change the world.
Yeah. So we get that already out of the way that, you know, you're not looking for lazy people and Gen Z is not lazy either. How do you actually spot someone who is, you know, wave material? What's the X factor you look for?
Definitely there's a mix of factors, but I think like one of the most important one is like the high ambition. Of course, like you want to kind of bet on the next superstar. So the ambition is really important and they can think really big. And I think that hasn't been like a problem. I think there are a lot of like young people that are thinking like crazily about what they could do to the world or what they could build. So that for sure. But also then kind of this grit and some kind of a pull to actually build something and really wanting to do that makes sense for us because we definitely want to kind of bet into the best companies as well.
Yeah, 100%. Antonia, you've called Wave a fund built by students for students. What's something you're doing that, you know, traditional VCs just wouldn't get?
That's a good question. I think there are like multiple things. And I also think like with this kind of with the students or by students for students, I think it's also maybe more even like by Gen Z for Gen Z or so, because like many of like the Gen Zs might even like go to study for a while or graduate or even drop out or so. So kind of we understand all of those paths. Like you don't even need to be a student or so. And then like we're among like them. We are the Gen Z. So kind of is it then like the classes, the communities or so, we're part of those. So it's like we're with like kind of friends, with people that are like us. We speak the same language, we think of the same stuff, we do the same things on our free time. And many of our team members actually also want to build companies in their future. So also from that perspective, we love sparring different ideas and talking with everyone. And let's say like if a, like what you call traditional VC would wait more for a like traction or a polished deck, I think for us it's more on the potential of the people, and that we can then polish the deck and the pitch and everything together, but we just are looking for the most exactly the most exceptional people.
So amazing, I love it. It's a pre-seed. It's like your first check investor. It should be all about people, not about traction. Yeah, Antonia. So backing founders super early, also, you know, it means like lots of unknowns. What do you think isn't important at the start that most VCs still obsess over?
Like I'd say based on the bets we've done, I think maybe even the idea. Honestly, I think like probably like over 50% of the companies we've invested in have changed the ideas somewhat or like totally or so. So like, for example, when we make investment decisions, it's so much based on the team. Even like the idea market, we might look into that, yes, for sure. But like based on like all the bets we've done, it's so much on kind of the relationship with them, getting to know them and seeing how they think and kind of what makes them exceptional. So yeah, maybe I'd say like the idea is not that crucial.
Awesome.
But yeah.
Yeah, I get it. Founders often obsess about ideas, right? Like they think like, oh, this idea is like, they treat it like they kind of baby. And then like, they stick to like, to get attached to it too much. And then it's hard to move on. Whereas they should be open actually to changing and pivoting and improving and actually focusing more, like focus on the problems, not on the ideas, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's a great point. And I think often also like kind of when we like talk with these founders, we talk about the problems, like we can't even invest in them without them having actually any solution or the product or anything there. It's more like that they have like a problem space that they are super curious about, super into, and we are like sparring about that. And then it's kind of, so therefore like even more like the idea is kind of like a very, like kind of a secondary thing.
Right. It's all about people because like the world's greatest idea with, not such a great team won't fly. And, you know, even like not the best idea at the beginning with like the triple A team, the best team out there, they're going to figure it out, right?
Exactly. Yeah. 100%. So that's what we're betting on.
Awesome. I know that Wave is super intentional about, you know, being early and accessible. What's something you do differently to make that happen?
It's probably like the whole model, how we work. So basically that we kind of, our team also rotates. So we always kind of stay young. So we know what is trendy for the youth, what we want to do, like where people spend time. Like exactly what I mentioned with kind of where we are during our free time or so, or also how we like what we do with the founders or like the future founders that want to go found something like some of our team members in Finland, they go jogging with the people because they love jogging, or in Sweden we have this founder's house and people spend late nights there just buying the ideas. Personally, I also love going to the gym or having meetings at the cafe or so like I kind of, it's like also like hanging out with people you like that you kind of just like want to be friends with or want to get to know better how they think and so on. So kind of that we're in the same world, and also like really like we have these like formal meetings or stuff like that. It's more like these casual catch-ups and actually like having walks with coffee or so and getting to know the people I'm like, I also feel like with many founders, it's more like they are also talking like with a friend rather than a VC, like someone that wants to help them and go kind of forward with them. But then at the same time, we of course also have the money so we can help them with that.
I love it. I love it. And I think that's actually how the VC model should look like in general, because come on, if you invest, if you're investing in someone, I mean, it's kind of like a 5 to 10 years relationship, probably give or take. So you better be good friends and, you know, get along together and spend some time together and get to know each other and have some fun together. 100%. Wave backs people, you know, before they even have a product sometimes, as we were talking. How do you build conviction?
Yeah, I think that's actually very interesting because obviously, like for us, it's like kind of been a conviction around the person. And I think it's also very different for different, like different people, even our team, how we built kind of the conviction around them. But I guess it's like mostly with the ambition and clarity of thought and thinking like of the founder and us like kind of getting to know them and seeing how they view the world and how they see it into the future. And I think like personally, I really kind of believe in that, like, when, you know, when you talk with the founder and so on and you hear how they think and their story in general, just like what they have done in life, what they want to do, why they want to do it and so on. So that kind of also builds a conviction. And like in many cases, we actually like know the founders for a longer time, so we get to know them. So founders, like typically we might start just talking even long time before they like have actually the idea of building their company. Like, and that's kind of also the model how we work, that we are just with the most ambitious people around us in these different communities in the Nordics, where we just like get to know them, get to know their dreams and so on. And then we kind of build also over time then more towards kind of what the idea of what kind of thing they want to build or in which space or so. But yeah, it's very like kind of, it depends a lot on the person as well.
Yeah, so it's all kind of, you know, like about being closer to founders. And I love it. And I already said, we already talked about it, that you've built Wave kind of in a way to be closer to founders. I was wondering how does that change your investment process day to day?
Yeah. Well, I think, yeah, like probably like with already with all those meetings and so on. So there are not that many like these kind of formal meetings, but every case is very like personal and each case is very different. So all of our investors, like we have multiple investors in the team in the different countries, and they like really personally what they feel is best with the like that certain founder, they build the relationship and also the process. Then of course we like meet up with the whole team and meet their whole team as well, but I think like there's not one model that works for everyone. And also maybe what I also said earlier, that we often get to know the founders earlier on the journey, like when they are just starting to think of building something. We might also like build conviction then, let's say really quickly, or know that this is the person I want to bet on. Like I would put my money on this person for sure. Like they are the most exceptional from my generation in this country or in this city or so. But then in some cases, like for example, they are not yet ready to like take the money and they want to like validate it further, look into it more or so. So I think also through that, everything is so like case by case. But yeah, I think like the investment process in a whole can be like, it can be like in one day over, or like it can take like two, like even like 1.5 years kind of to go through the whole process. But it's like case by case, but I'd say it's always based on the founders. Like how they want to move or go.
I love it. It seems so natural and so like empathy based, you know. Antonia, yeah, 1.5 year, it's long though, I wanted to say. So your backers, you know, your backers are founders from Slack, from Bolt, from Vault. So you know, some like generational companies out there. How did you get them to believe in this Wave?
Great question. I mean, like in a very similar way as like, you know, like founders fundraise from like the VCs that they want to have on board. We also like get to the LPs we want to have on board and so on. So, I mean, a lot of messages, a lot of like events, going, talking with them, telling what we're doing. I mean, everyone doesn't know what this is, what is Wave, what we do. So a lot of those kind of outreaches and so. But I think it's then very easy, like when we actually tell what we do, that kind of we are part of this generation and we believe in this generation and we know them personally that are going to build like the biggest companies of this generation in the Nordics, because we are there around them. So I think that's really like resonates with many, especially like when they believe in the next generation of what is coming out of here, then it's kind of a no-brainer. But then also I think it, just the model is pretty interesting, how we operate in general. There is nowhere in the world really like a fund like this that has just young people rotating through it. But it then also gives back a lot. So a lot of people from Wave then go and fund companies, go into VC, become operators or so. So the community kind of grows. So you also want to be part of that community then from the like LP side as well.
Yeah,
exactly. So it's pretty unique. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Yeah.
Definitely.
Sounds like, sounds perfect. Antonia, there's actually, I think there's more and more, maybe as you said, there's no other, like there's no much more, much like many funds like yours in the world. But there's a shift in VC happening generally, like smaller funds, faster bets, younger teams. What's next? What does modern VC look and feel like to you?
That's a tough one. Yeah, but I totally agree. Like there is like something happening like currently, like there's so much like capital also coming to like the earlier stages and the people investing very actively. And I think that might be that there might be like even these like more special models of VC, like the general traditional VC model might not be the one like for like the very future. So I think that's at least something that that like I keep guessing. I don't know what's gonna happen, but it's going to look interesting. But I think also the fact just that, like for example, our model where like where some people are interested in it and kind of also like kind of our track with just identifying these founders and actually making so many bets into companies that are then also raising a lot of follow-on funding rounds tells that there's something like even with this model that works. And I think like these kind of unique ways of kind of identifying or going against the traditional VC model where you have the same team for the 10 years might work. So there are all these kind of different models that you could then also think of. It's like so many things we could guess that could happen. But
True.
Yes.
I love it. But I think like a lot of VC, I mean, for me, a modern VC, a VC of the future looks actually like a lot like Wave. It's based on, maybe you have, some more experienced partners, some more experienced founders of the VC being out there. But it's actually kind of a mix of experience and young people being close to young people that are building and doing it fast and doing it in a human, more fun way and actually in a way that's going to bring a lot of impact. So I actually love Wave's model. I love what you're doing, guys. If you could wave a magic wand and change one thing about the VC industry, what goes first?
I mean, of course, VC might have some like diversity comes to my mind first. Like, I think that's one thing that like personally I would like to affect in the industry, of course. That's maybe the one thing that I would affect. I think also like just like even with Wave, like us all being young is already like something that is not kind of traditional in VC, and especially us making all the decisions ourselves as well is already something different. But then of course like with like women in the industry and so on and all these, like there's a lot to do still. So that's maybe something that personally I feel that I would really want to affect.
100%. I agree. Antonia, now it's time for a little game that I always play with my guests. It's kind of a rapid fire questions kind of game. So I'm going to shoot questions at you. You're going to give me quick answers. Don't worry that they don't have to be like super quick. Take it easy. But let's play.
Okay, I'm excited. Let's go.
Right. Let's do it. Antonia, so one belief about VC or startups you've totally changed your mind on?
probably like the need for a lot of experience, both in VC and startups. I think there's always another way of doing stuff. And I think like young founders can think things differently, but also young VCs might have some different perspectives or networks that can make it just as good.
I like it. One thing young people get right about startups that others don't.
Speed, I think. Like at least what I'm seeing, like with these young founders, it's just, you know, so quickly, okay, let's iterate, let's go that direction, let's try out this or so. It's like, yeah, the kind of prime years of your life and you're just quickly trying out everything.
Yeah. Amazing. I love it. One piece of startup advice you think is total bullshit?
Actually, I'm not the big fan of the fail fast thing. Okay. I think it's like, yeah, why fail? Why not learn fast and like change directions and try out or so, you know? Why would you need to like fail? Maybe it's because I don't know if I see failure in many things. It's like, you know, you can just go over and try out something else. Like it's not necessarily a failure.
That's so cool. That's so refreshing. That's awesome. I love it. I love that take. Best and worst piece of advice you've gotten as a VC?
I remember when I started in VC, like someone, I was told that you have to look exactly the team, the like kind of solution and the market and so on. And then, like, I remember talking with VC and they were just to me so that, hey, really, like, just focus on the people in the end. Like no great idea will fly with a bad team or so. I think that's like, yeah. I think that was a good advice. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. What's the worst one?
Worst one. I have a tendency. I think I forget the advice that I don't like. That I don't then think that is the best. So maybe I don't remember it that well. But yeah, I don't know. But maybe probably something like wait for a bit more traction. Wait for something because that doesn't work. Yeah. You know, at least in the early stages, like you can't just wait.
Yeah.
If you want to win the case, you have to make decisions quickly.
It's no time to wait. Exactly.
No, exactly. So maybe that, but yeah, but I mean, it makes sense. Like, I understand. Maybe you want to wait because you want to see more, but I guess it doesn't work always. So.
Awesome. I love it. One founder you'd call DM right now if you could invest in them.
Honestly, I think that I probably would have already. Like if I think that there could be a match for Wave, I've probably already DM'd them and they might even be able to be in our portfolio or so.
Like comes back to your previous answer, like why wait? No? Like
Exactly. So yeah, like I do call DM a lot of people, like if I think that, hey, could they be building or so? Yeah. They have a great profile.
I love it. Nice. If you could replace pitch decks with anything else, what would it be?
Yeah, maybe if it has to be like a physical thing, maybe like a video or something, or like even like a TikTok, like a quick one, you know, that you can go through like this. Yeah, maybe that could be like a combination, like, you know, a pitch deck. Something like that. That could work. Yeah,
that'd be cool. Actually, you know, like I think it's just you replaced pitch decks with just people. You know, like I think that all the generational companies that have been built and investors that invested in them. I don't think anyone remembers a first like pitch deck of Airbnb or I don't know, Facebook or whatever. Like they just remember those people, right? They went
exactly
after the board and invested in them. I don't think even pitch decks sometimes are needed anymore. I would say like no pitch decks, just people.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that. Yeah.
Nice. If you could co-invest with any three people, who is in your fantasy VC squad?
Okay, so anyone in the world.
Yes, anyone in the world.
Okay, and don't need to be VCs either.
No, not at all.
Okay. Ooh, interesting. Okay, I think it would probably also depend a bit on the case. But like if I could just dream, I mean, the Midas list just came out. Maybe I would pick number one, like Alfred Lin or something, to be one of those. Then maybe you can take a song, like, okay, stay on the VC side, take a bit of like younger generation, like Harry Stebbings or so, like pro Europe, and then and then well, now we've been talking so much about TikTok, so maybe a TikTok creator or someone like that has a lot of like audience, super high, like something like that, like outside the like VC scene or so. Like that kind of a combination. Could that work?
Nice, Antonia. I like it. Now we're getting even more tricky with the questions. Now you're going to have two sentences that you're going to finish.
Okay.
So yeah, finish the sentence. The next big thing will come from?
A young founder.
Nice. Yes, very good. And the last one. The future of VC is?
Different.
Nice. I love it. Nice. Antonia, this is it. This is actually finish of the game. We are done. After this game, you're fully known to the world. Thank you so much, everyone. Clap for Antonia. You've been amazing during this podcast. I loved it so much. I think audience will love it as well. Thank you for taking the time and joining me.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It was lovely.